in my reading of the scriptures and speaking to you this afternoon. But before I open the Word of God, I would like to take this opportunity just to thank the Christians at the Arlington Assembly for this wonderful time of fellowship. I feel I speak on behalf of others when we say how very much we have appreciated the kindness of the saints for the food so beautifully cooked, the good food so beautifully cooked, and for the generous sense of fellowship. I would like to thank you sincerely in the Lord's name. Now, I have enjoyed very much the ministry of my dear brother. Simple, practical, wholesome ministry from the Word of God. And I would try to follow as the Lord would help. I want to think and to speak particularly again to the young in Christ. And I want to speak tonight, this afternoon, of a new life in Christ. Now, I want you to read with me a few scriptures. First of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are only going to read one verse here. I've exercised about leaving plenty of time for others to speak. One verse, verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now we return to the book of Ephesians, and in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll commence reading at verse number 1. Reading verse 1 through to 3, and then further down the text. And you have been risen, Lord, is alive, who were dead and trespasses and sins. For in a time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh and the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by this birth the children of wrath, even as others were flesh. That at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down to the little wall of partition between us. Now a final reading, or two short readings, in John's Gospel, verses chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. We read verses 14 through 16. The Lord Jesus, you remember here, is speaking to his Father. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, one verse in chapter 4. Chapter 4, 3, and one verse. Verse 10 of chapter 10. The king cometh not but one to slay and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The subject is only the afternoon that I want to deal with in a very simple way for the sake of the young Christ is a new life in time. And I want you to think that what that new life entails as we go along in our simple study this afternoon. First of all, I want you to come to that feeling that some Christians, you have been born again. The life of God, that's your soul. According to the first scripture that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. I often say that our privileges as believers give them responsibility. And I want us to consider that this afternoon. But first of all, a new creature, we are going to enjoy the thought today of a new life in Christ. But first of all, I want us to contrast the old life with the new. You remember we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 that at that time we were without Christ, without hope, without God, and in the world. Here of faith, and I'm sure there may be some friends today that is sure negative. Sure without trust, without hope, without God, and in the world. What a sad position to be in. Thank God that we changed in that room. And you can enjoy the thrill of being in Christ, a new creation. You can have the thrill of a new life in Christ by a personal acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as your very own Savior. But if you come again to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and you think of the glorious truth that we are in Christ, one of the ten
through me, the power of God in an individual believer
I bring them the laborers to us, so the true power. And then I want to think that every believer should have a true ambition. Now I want to try to bring that to the community. First of all, true relationship. Before I enjoy a true relationship, let us remember that in God's purpose, the old relationships have been broken off. You remember, we read the word written, spoken by the Lord Jesus. They are not of the world. What is the new relationship then? Oh my brother, my sister, let us revel in this today. Let us enjoy the new relationship that are ours. First of all, we have Christ as children. That's the greatest blessing that anyone can have. To know it, to have the relationship of Christ as our very own Savior, to be in Christ. Those from the words of Psalm chapter 12, Psalm chapter 1, ladder at verse 10. I very seldom conclude a gospel reading, but somewhere in that gospel reading I quote those lovely words. What as many as receive the life-giving power to become the children of God, even to them that believe in His name. And my brother, my sister, the moment that you trust with Christ as your Savior, that moment you are in a new relationship, you were in Christ. Maybe I should take a moment here to emphasize the eternal people again of the believer in Christ. Listen to again the words of Scripture. There are very sure now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. A true relationship. I'm in Christ. I have Christ as my Savior. I'm eternally secure. The Word of God tells me that I shall never perish. You remember again the Lord Jesus Christ? He said in John chapter 10, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He doesn't finish that. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He goes further still. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If you're a true young person, let me alone with you. And your judgment passes. O restful soul, the day for eternity. Of this divine relationship that you are in Christ and that in Christ you are eternally secure. The hymn writer of 10, the lovely words. The soul that of Jesus has taken for repose, you never, oh, never deserve to be soul. That soul, oh, all hail to the heaven. You never will sin. Young Christian, your relationship, first of all, you are Christ as Savior. Yet, I want you to think that as a believer in Christ, you are God and you are Father. I wonder who I need to mention today. If you are not born again, you cannot lift your eyes and say, our Father which art in heaven. There's no relationship there. Oh, dear boy, dear girl, I'm saying, look, the Word of God will remind us that you are of your Father, the devil. And then another relationship which he had before. Not only do we have Christ the Savior, not only do we have God as our Father, but we have the Holy Spirit as our God. Something that we never had before. And I would love to dwell on this subject, but time was not for this. something. I better not say something. I'm trying to turn them from Christian. That impels you to the very moment that you trust in God. We need to be very careful on the subject of the Holy Spirit of God today. Upon believing, he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the moment you accepted Christ as your neighbor, you got all of the Holy Spirit of God that leveled you. But there is a glorious power that the Holy Spirit of God can get more and more and still more possession of me. And so the end of this is, we not got the Christ for anything there, but we filled the Spirit. In the Lord, and that we might value the divine relationship, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then we have Christians as our companions. Christians as our companions. And I would like again to speak a very practical word to the unbelievers of Christ. Please be careful of your companionship. I'm not thinking only of marriage, although companionship, a young lady with a young man and vice versa, if we are honest before the Lord and just do not want your neighbor, it leads to a marriage union. And so, let us be very careful as to our relationship. The word of God instructs us to marry only in the Lord. So I believe that means I must marry a believer in Christ, but I believe it goes further than that, my brethren and sisters. I believe it's not enough for a young brother to be exercised about a companion to his soul. But God acknowledges the lordship of Christ. And I believe there is only one set of the faith in the marriage union when we are like-minded in the things of God. And so, my young brethren, young sisters of God, try, seek to get your relationships, your friendship, inside the scope of the local agenda. Now then, having thought of the relationship, I want to increase my ship for a moment and having these relationships and enjoying them, I want to emphasize the fact that you and I cannot have relationships with Christ and enjoy relationships with the world as well. Don't run it up to the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, that moment you are gathered in God's presence forever from the world. And now, the Lord Jesus said, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. What does it mean? So let me give you a simple illustration that I have used, and I believe will help you to understand. One from personal experience, and one from the book of God. I remember, on one occasion, I once met an American Jesus that was in contact. I was in Northern Ireland. And I knew my brother, Jim Henry, who was from there. I went into King Street in Belfast. And I went upstairs and into the American consulate's office. I left the streets of Belfast and I went through those black wards. There was, first of all, the flag of the United States. Then as I went through those doors, it seemed as though in a moment of time, you were transported from Northern Ireland and you were in America. I didn't realize there were American people who also spoke of the American scene. There were American magazines lying along with it. And as I went up to the counter, it was very evident that the folks behind the counter were American. You may not know it, of course, you know. But when you come to Northern Ireland, I can see what, you know, everybody knows you're in America. As you walk the street, they know you're in America. and the Christians and the folks yesterday, oh yes, I knew they were not of Northern Ireland, they were Americans. Now here's the point. Here was a little colony of America. They were in Northern Ireland, but they weren't of it. They didn't belong there. They were there just for the purpose. And we had it touched on every time and again, we will drop into every time we utter it. But here they are. They are here for the purpose, and that purpose is to represent the United States of America. Youngsters, you're in this world, but you're not of it in the purposes of God. You have been born again. You're a new creature. You're now an every person in what purpose? You're in the world, but you're not of it. Now let me give you a new head, a new head, our new head, a new head. And we come to the board of the covenant. You remember those boards? They were once free. You remember those ancient days of 17? They had their roots done. And they threw sustenance from the earth. You remember that Bezalel that had Eliab and the others with him? They went up. Of course, at the command of God through Israel and Moses, they were not done. They selected three. They took the three here and here and here. They selected it. Those three were growing in the desert. They were never. They were cut down. No longer did they draw sustenance from the old earth. Now, their appearance has changed. And they are being warned for the structure of the tabernacle. Those floors, of course, were covered with bone, and I'm not going to be tempted to do it with this subject. But these floors form part of the base for the glory of the Lord then. And these trees or roots were dark in the desert, severed off, their appearance changed, they're back in the desert again. But notice, these boards, they were on sockets of silver. And that silver speaks to us of redemption. And you know, that redemption separated them, these boards, from the old sands of the desert. Young brother, young sister, you are in Christ. Once in Christ forever. And you're in this world. But may the Lord help us not to get our roots down. The past redemption, the present son of Christ, should separate us forever from the old earth that we once threw ourselves from. If you love the world, and the things of the world. Let me quote you the scripture. He that loveth the world, the love of the Father, loveth it. Now then, I'm just going to refer to the other scriptures very quickly. We have two relationships. Thank God for that. Now then, we have a new peace. The secret of true peace. As I think of the peace of the believer, something that the world knows nothing about, I want to think of it in a twofold way. First of all, I want to think of peace with God and the peace of God. Now, peace with God is positional. Therefore, being justified by this, we have. Thank God, nothing can offer that. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can shake that peace. But then, there is another aspect of peace. And we are exhorted that the peace of God should govern, garrison our lives. This is practical. And by my brethren and sisters, positionally, I have peace with God. The precious blood of Christ shed with that. Yet it's possible for me to live without the peace dominating and ruling my life, the peace of God.
Let me very quickly give you a little outline that I have enjoyed myself. It's person. This peace, the secret of true peace, is person. He is our peace. Ephesians chapter 2. It's Christ. Colossians 1. By the blood of his cross. It's promise. You remember the Lord Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. It's tradition. Romans 5:1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's product. And the peace of God. Philippians 4:7. The peace of God may be evident in our lives. You and I, as true relationships, we have open relationships with the world. We have these relationships, and we have these, this peace as well. Now then, I want to repeat that the believer has a new joy. Some Christian came up on this afternoon. You never knew joy, neither did I, until I knew Christ as my personal Savior. You remember those lovely words of Romans chapter 5. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a joy, a satisfaction. And you know, like our peace, it's something I think I said the other day. It's not dependent on outside circumstances at all. This joy is something that is inward. You know, the happiest people that I know, some of them, are those that have been laid aside and the joy of the Lord filling your souls. You know, it's a very suggestive thing, and it occurred to me some time ago. Listening to the ungodly so often talking, I discovered this, that they never speak of joy. They you just sit in it. Oh, they speak of having a good time, having a thrill and all the rest of it. But they'll never speak of joy. And you know, the believer has a joy that the world knows nothing about. It's joy through knowing Christ as their very own Savior. Now then, I want you to think that the believer has also a new obedience. And you know, my brethren and sisters, I wanted to think of the Son of God, that you and I are not our own. We've both been born to the Christ, a born slave, a slave of the Lord Jesus. Not our own, and your obedience is ours. You know, it's not good enough to call the Lord Jesus Master. There is something beyond that. There is something, my brethren and sisters, young Christian and Christ, there's a challenge that's going to demand all that you are and have. You remember the Lord Jesus in John chapter 13. You remember he is speaking to the old, he has given them the example of deep washing, and now he says, he called me Master and Lord, and so I am. You say, well, that's what who I am. And the Lord Jesus, he immediately turns it around. He says, if I then, your Lord and Master. Master and Lord. Lord and Master. It's not enough to recognize the Lord Jesus as Master. You see, if you serve an earthly Master, you have time off, haven't you? You have a time that you call your own. You leave the job, you go home, you forget about your work. But here is something that presses closer. And I believe I have to learn this before I know what it takes to be absolutely obedient to the will and purpose of God for my life. So the Lord Jesus said, if I then,
you are Lord and Master. In this,
the recognition of Christ as Lord has to come before my service toward Him.
You know, very often when I go into a hospital hall, over the platform, I see this. He is Lord of all. And you know, without exception, when I see that word, I see that text, I saw that statement, I switch it on, and I ask myself, is He Lord of all?
What does Lordship mean? It means your wisdom, supreme in authority.
That's what it is.
What does Lordship mean? An angel of wisdom, supreme in authority.
That's what it is.
Is the Lord Jesus supreme in authority in my life?
Not that I have.
I know that I'll fall. I hold it for the giver. My life, my all is, and His forever.
Then I want you to think,
in Christ, we have a new love. You remember the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, he could say this, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And as I thought of Ephesians chapter 6, and my brother was reading just before that, dear young Christian, facing an ungodly world, not even go to war at your own charges, you miserably fail, seeking to witness for Christ in an ungodly crowd. What a joy to know that I have a new power. We have, I believe, a twofold resource. We can think of course the boat again. The Holy Spirit of God dwelling within me. Then the good of God guiding me as I seek to go forward in His day, evidencing this new life to all of us, seeking this thing for the Lord as opportunity and occasion demands. So in Ephesians chapter 6, I will take time, I was working with the lead in a little detail, but I'm not going to do that now. I want you to think that there we have our new power. Putting on the whole armor of God, we have the loins covered. We have the breastplate. We have the feet covered. We have the breast covered with the breastplate, the feet to enable us to walk. And then to withstand the enemy. In this new power that's given to us, not only a power to go forward in His name, but a power to stand. Thank God, to stand, we have the shield of faith, we have the helmet of salvation, we have the sword of the Spirit. Every activity of the believer's life is covered. Every exercise, with one exception, there's no armor for the devil. In other words, my brother, my sister, the Lord never expects you to turn your back on the job, but with the new life of God in your soul, as you go forward, the Lord will give you the power to do it through His precious work and the unfeeling Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. Then finally, we have a new ambition. We could have read that if we had read a little bit further down to verse 20. In 2 Corinthians 5, a new ambition. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That is a subject that is known to ambassadorship. But may the Lord help us that individually, as we go forward in His name, having this new love, may the Lord help us that we might seek to serve Him, equipped by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us. The Lord help us that we might be fashioned.